My great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning Neil Lacey, who will be on the ballot for a House seat in the Alaska State Legislature in the contested primary on August 21st. Thank you, Neil, for coming in today.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
We're going to talk about the theme that drives most of the questions we're asking here. And the theme is, the faster things change, the harder it seems to adjust to the change. So starting with question one. In Alaska, some Native elders are saying, our traditional knowledge is no longer reliable. Describe how you think this observation applies to politics in Alaska.
Well, first of all, Alaska politics are an evolving, changing thing, seems like on the minute. Are they changing for the better? I hope this election cycle will bring a change in our legislature and a change in the way we do business and politics in general. That's my hope anyways.
Okay, question number two. In your life to date, how have you managed adapting to change?
Well, when it comes, life is full of changes. And for me, I get changes pretty much on a regular basis. I use the three A's for success: adapt, achieve, and adapt, achieve, analyze, adapt, and achieve is how I do it. When I became a teacher, I had teaching experience from the college system, but I didn't have any teaching experience with teenagers. And I was thrust into the situation, and within 6 months, I had a positive evaluation, and my teaching career was off to a good start. Managing changes is how it defines us as a person. And if a person doesn't know how to adapt and change, they're going to have a tough time in life.
Question number three. If you consider yourself a conservative, describe the best qualities and achievements of liberals with whom you have worked, or vice versa.
Well, I consider myself left of center. And when I was on the school board, we had a vast difference in opinions between all the school board members. Did we come together and formulate some good educational policy? Yes, I think we did. Can I work with people across the aisle? Yes, I can. A while back, I met a Republican conservative fellow named John Nelson. And as I sat and talked to this individual at length, since we had the time, I came across thinking that I could work with this gentleman, and I think he has the same values system that I do, and that we could work together, no matter what party we're from. That's just one example.
Thank you. Question number four. As a candidate for the state legislature, do you believe that the way the people's business is conducted needs to change? If so, describe a specific way that change can be achieved.
Well, first of all, I think the legislature has a time management issue. They don't start doing anything, it seems like, until the last month of the session. And that means they've had 2 months to do nothing. I was at a forum of an event that was put on by the Nancy Lake Homeowners Association, and I saw my opponent there, David Eastman. And I asked him, I already knew what legislators did, but I asked him, what do you do every day? And he says, I go to meetings. And he left it at that, and I'm thinking, I think as a legislator of elected people, you should be doing more than just going to meetings. I think you should be setting an example. I think if you get elected, you should probably have a list of laws that you think that would benefit, in my case, the constituents of District 10. And I have a list of laws that I want to introduce the second if I get elected.
Thank you. Question number five. Describe your prediction about the makeup of the next legislature and explain your reasoning and the probability that you will be right.
Well, first of all, I see the legislature with more people like me, left of center in it, slightly left of center. I believe the people of the district are ready for a change. In the past, I've tried to contact my legislators, and when they find out who I am, they kind of don't want to help me. That's wrong. When you get into the legislature, your constituents are the people you should represent, and if they have a call to you, you should at least try and help them. You should at least call them back. You should engage them in the process, and I have not seen that happen. Will I be right? I don't know. I hope I'm right, but the voters will tell next week.
Question number six. The discussion about the budget has taken up most of the last legislative session. If further cuts in expenditures are to be done, describe specifically what those cuts should be and also what impact cuts will have. And if additional revenues are to be added, also specifically describe them and their impact.
Okay, first off, I believe the state of Alaska spends money on things we don't need to be spending money on. I'm going to use an example of the Kodiak launch facility. That's a quasi-Alaska corporation. It uses state money. Should we be in the rocket business? I don't think so. I don't think the state should be funding that. And I would put that money back into programs that actually benefit the citizens, in my case, of District 10 and Alaska at large. That would be one of many things that I would be looking at. If it doesn't have any lasting public value to the citizens, I don't think we should be funding it. And as far as what the impacts will be of not funding the Kodiak Launch Complex, I don't think there will be any. I think if we should probably get rid of that, but I don't think we should be selling our Alaska assets at fire sale prices like other things that have been mistakes in our state's history. They were selling off our assets at fire sale prices. And as in additional revenues, I think it's time that we need to, one would be a cruise ship tax. And I know I'm going to have people going, oh, no, no, that's bad on tourism. First off, Alaska sells itself. We shouldn't be putting a lot of money into that. Two, if you're a tourist and you're going to go, say, to a foreign country or to Alaska, Alaska's a much safer place to go to. You probably won't be killed or maimed in Alaska as you would in, say, some other country that has political problems. When a cruise ship goes into a port in southeastern Alaska, the town swells by half to three quarters. When a ship moves in there, the pollution, a cruise ship is a small power station, 30 to 40 megawatts, which is about the size of the Clutton station over there. And if you look at any of the footage, live footage of cruise ships, you'll see smoke coming out of their funnels. That's pollution. Those cruise ships should be hooking up to the local infrastructure. Another thing, they should be pumping out their sewage into a sewer treatment system, which is paid for by a cruise ship tax. Right now, a cruise ship can go 3 miles offshore and dump whatever the heck it wants into our water, and we as a state prize our salmon. And every time I see that or hear that, I cringe. So that would be one thing, a cruise ship tax. Also, I'm not in favor of giving tax credits to oil companies. Years ago, oil companies used to go look for oil, and they did it on their own dime. In the last 30 or so years, it's been fashionable for big business in general to say, oh, we need a tax credit so we can do business there. I find that offensive, and it's the property owners and the people of Alaska who are paying for that, and that's wrong. If that's your business model, you need to get into a different kind of business.
Thank you. Question number 7. What do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience? For example, if your constituents were to overwhelmingly support an income tax, but you personally oppose one, how would you vote? And how would you explain your decision to your constituents?
Well, first of all, I don't think the legislators do enough to get input from their constituents. I realize people are busy, but it would be really easy to come up with some kind of a small poll that you could poll people, and then you would get a majority vote of that. If the majority of the people in District 10 said, Neil, you should vote on this, I'm going to vote on that, whether I believe in it or not. You're there for the people and not some political ideology, if you will. You're there to represent the constituents of that district, although I might not like it.
Describe how you see the people residing in your district as constituents. What do you mean by constituents?
Anybody who lives in that district, which in my case stretches from Ingstrom Road all the way to the border to Cantwell, every voting person in that district is a constituent, whether they're a Democrat or Republican or Independent or Green or whoever. They're constituents of that legislator, and that is who the legislator should take their marching orders from.
Well, I have asked a series of questions. This is an opportunity for you to make any final comments you'd like to address listeners.
Well, first of all, and I've told people through this throughout my career, I'm short on words and long on enthusiasm. And the alligator sits there and does nothing and gets his meal. Don't confuse non-movement for not paying attention. My dad told me long ago that you have two ears and one mouth, which means you should listen twice as much as you talk. And that's the problem with the legislators nowadays. They talk more then they need to, then they listen and they say things that they shouldn't be saying in public. I come with a filter. A lot of legislators don't. I would like to change a bunch of laws for District 10. Law that I'd like to change right off would to make sure that insurance companies in the state of Alaska cannot discriminate on pre-existing conditions. That should be a fundamental right of everybody in the district. And I'm committed to do something about health care. It's been said that each one of us are one catastrophe away from bankruptcy. That is wrong in this day and age. I think everybody should at least have some kind of health care, no matter who you are. Thing is how we're going to pay for it. And I think there's some ways we can do that.
Well, thank you, Neil Lacey, candidate for a seat in the House of Representatives from House District 10.
Thank you, sir.